This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, they should always know what your food is. It's so big. We've been spending the last, 6 months around here finally, fine-tuning what we feel is one of the better allergy elimination procedures that there is, because it's so important to get a person's allergies down. So food's huge. Food is just enormous. That person should, before they ever start with going on with you, they should know what your food is, what you're eating, and what they need to get rid of. Medications, okay? There's a lot of reasons people need to know what your medications are. And when people look at your medications, it's like, look, after three medications, they have a term for it. It's called polypharmacy. And that means you're taking too many medications. And that wasn't made up by the alternative field. That was made up by the medical field. Basically, what they're saying is by the time you get to the fourth drug, it's causing some of your problems, or it's interacting poorly with the other drugs. I'll give you one example of why doctors need to know what your drugs are, particularly in the alternative field. Since thyroid, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, these conditions are so prevalent today, and they're so prevalent in the evaluating chronic pain, yet almost every drug that you take alters thyroid function in some way. Some of it alters the way the thyroid works, some of the way you actually make the hormone, some of the way in which the hormone actually goes from being inactive to active, some part of it and how it's being absorbed. If you're trying to fix somebody's thyroid and you're taking all those medications, you need to know that. There's ways to deal with it and so on and so forth. But you need to know that. That's just one example. Certainly, you need to know what medications they're there if you're going to start using a lot of different types of herbs and botanicals to help that patient. And you have to know what's going to sink and what's not going to sink. But also, if you know what medications a person's taking, and this goes for what supplements they're taking, then you should ask that person which of those seem to help you and which don't. If you have a depression, and you're taking a benzodiazepine, that you may know as Xanax, that's a GABA enhancer. You may use something that increases a person's GABA because you know that'll give you a hint as to how to treat that person. If you're using another type of a drug like a Valium, I think is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, you'll know that maybe you 5-HTP might be helpful for that person. At the very least, ultimately, if you can work with that person's doctor to get them off of the drugs. Knowing your drugs and knowing your supplements, obviously, is hugely important. Knowing what the person's taking is important. Knowing what their allergies are. You can get so much from their allergies, because if they're allergic to everything, they either got a leaky gut or they got a histamine response, more than likely, okay? You don't need to take an allergy test for 175 different things, because you fix their gut, you fix their histamine response, and all of a sudden they're not allergic to 157 different things. So you want to know that. You want to know that. You want to know, in general, you want to know the general person's past history. Do they have autoimmunity in their past history? Do they have autoimmunity in their family? If they have thyroid, Does her mother have it? Did their grandmother have it? Does their sister have it? There, if it's like that, you can automatically know they probably have Hashimoto's. Okay, you want to know. You want to know. Do they have other autoimmunity in their family? Their family have Crohn's disease, or they have ulcerative colitis. Whatever. If the person has autoimmunity in their family already, there's a good chance you're looking at autoimmunity. You want to know the normal stuff. Do they have hypertension? Irritable bowel syndrome. Somebody checks irritable bowel syndrome. In the functional medicine world, you should already be thinking that the person's in chronic stress response. Because now today we know irritable bowel syndrome causes, irritable, they're calling irritable bowel syndrome, irritable brain syndrome. Did they have mononucleosis? Did they have ulcers like I had? Did they have surgeries? Now, we get to the surgeries here, and the surgeries are hugely important. Did they have a hysterectomy? Did they have a complete hysterectomy? When you're trying to fix female physiology or physiology in general, obviously this is going to color what's going on with you. But for me, it was simply I had a number of intestinal surgery. And so basically, that tells the person, okay, we have a violated intestine. Does the patient have their stomach replaced? That'll tell us a lot about their leaky gut or the fact that they've developed maybe a malabsorption syndrome. I'm just walking through how much you can tell from looking at a history here. So surgeries, again, if you look in, and somebody's got a cholecystectomy, they've had their gallbladder taken out, which is not uncommon at all. And they got all kinds of gallbladder symptoms. And they go, but my gallbladder's out. Yeah, and I'm not eating fatty foods. It may tell you that you have to do something to take the place of that gallbladder being out. Or it may tell you that if they're having female problems and the menstrual problems, and they're having hot flashes, and they're having periods that are heavy, short, too long, all those types of things. It could be that their gallbladder is backing stuff up into their liver because it's not there. The liver's back, and the liver's overproducing, are not able to clear enough. And then next thing you know, what you've got is you have hormones backing up in there, like estrogen and progesterone and stuff like that. Next thing you know, they're trying to put you on hormone replacement therapy. You take something for the gallbladder, you take something for the liver, you clean that out, and all of a sudden you're having periods for the first time in 3 years. Something we just had happen here just a week ago. So this is functional medicine, and this is why if your functional medicine doctors aren't like grilling you on all of your surgeries and your past, if you got high blood pressure but you don't have a kidney problem and you don't have a heart problem, you should know that the person's probably got a chronic stress fight-flight response. This is the day where, this comes from the days where this is how we used to diagnose. You would walk into a doctor, they would sit you down. When I was, so I'm 66, so let's say when I was like young, let's say when I was like 21 or less, and you ask, how's that doctor? And they would go, oh, that doctor, he's just amazing. She's just amazing. There weren't too many she's back then, okay? And so basically they would come on and say, they listened to me. And they asked me a lot of questions and they spent like an hour with me. Well, that was standard back then because you didn't have the luxury of, let's go and do this test. Let's just do the test and then we'll treat from that. And most of you know from listening to that or from experiencing that and those people not listening and doing that instead, that's not a good way to go about things. Family history, we already talked a little briefly about family history. You like to know that. We particularly do dizziness and vertigo and balance. So we ask an entire series of questions about dizziness. You go to the doctor, they say dizziness. Okay, I'm gonna send you to the, I'm gonna look, check your blood pressure. I'm gonna make sure you didn't have a stroke, and I'm gonna send you to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. There's 18 different causes of dizziness. 18. 15 of them have to do with something called your cerebellum. So if a person specializes in a certain area, they should have an entire section of specific diagnostic questions that'll lead them to where it should be. Now, I didn't make this up. I talked to you about Dr. Bland, and he had the whole history timeline. I learned primarily from Dr. Karazian. From those of you who don't know who he is, he's the reason that you've ever heard of the term Hashimoto's. I give him credit more than anybody else for exploding functional medicine. And this is what he was doing, okay? Because he said, if you're going to do this type of work and you're not going to take enough time on the side to take a history and look at the person's history, in other words, to get their data from the hospital, I should grab it right there. I just have a stack right here for a patient who's got neuropathy, and I'm kind of concerned that she has something that's pretty severe that is going to need really possibly some pretty aggressive medical attention. I think it may be beyond functional medicine, something called Lou Gehrig's disease possibly. I have a whole stack there. And that's how I understood it. Because when that person came in, she'd already been to all these doctors. But we put time on the side so that we can read the entire history of that person's past and look in there and say, I think they're missing something. You have this and you have that, you have this. And then, of course, what does the patient say? You know, I've looked online and that's what I thought. And I get that a lot because you're going to do the research, okay? If anybody's going to do the research, you're going to do the research. Well, frankly, that's not what you're paying your doctor for. You're paying your doctor to do that job, to figure out what's wrong with you, right? One of the uniquenesses of functional medicine is that you're working with systems, okay? You're not really working with every little pain and every little abnormality. You're working with systems. So we practice functional medicine here and we practice functional neurology. Those are two separate disciplines that we have munched together because so much of what we get in our office is heavily influenced by if a person has anxiety, depression, panic attacks. The vast majority of our patients have had emotional trauma. Maybe they're in some level of post-traumatic stress syndrome. So we have to be attentive to that because if you watch some of our other videos, you'll see that the flooding your system with stress hormones all day long is not a good thing. And it will sabotage a lot of the things that a functional medicine practitioner is doing. So we check both. The point is that I'm going to make here is in functional medicine, the whole protocol was to do a systems-based approach. Find the mechanism. If the person has hot flashes, do you just throw estrogen at them? Or do you find out if their hypothalamus, which is determining if you have enough estrogen in your body, is talking to your pituitary gland to tell them to give a signal to your adrenals, which is then going to make some certain chemicals that are going to ultimately tell your ovaries to make estrogen. Functional medicine is finding out if that pathway is broken down. And instead of giving hormone replacement therapy for the ovaries, it might be that the person's really stressed out of their mind or that they're taking medications or something like that that's causing their pituitary gland to not talk to them. You fix this, all of a sudden the hot flashes go away. That's functional medicine. Now, how do you I see patients over a period of months and I make an estimate as to how long that's going to take. And every day the patient comes in here, they're usually see somebody for every time they come in, they're usually see three doctors actually. And I spend about 20 minutes with them going over an assessment form that I had them fill out every week. And the assessment form it's about three pages long. You think I would know by now. And essentially, it looks like this, okay? And many of you may recognize this because this is a very popular assessment form. This assessment form is kind of the update of what most practitioners are being taught to use, the update of that timeline that I talked about before. And here's the reason. Look how many questions are on this thing. I don't know how well you actually see this, but that's brain. This is gut, small intestines, large intestines, gallbladder, leaky gut, liver, blood sugar, a variety of things. And then there's adrenals, and then there's electrolytes and thyroid and high thyroid symptoms and low thyroid symptoms and female symptoms and male symptoms. And so there's a couple hundred questions on here, okay? It's just check sheets. My patient fills it out every week and they come in and they put it in front of me and I can look at that and I can immediately see what's going on. This is part of history taking. Who's going to remember to tell me everything that's wrong with them that week? No, nobody. And I'm not going to know to ask these questions. So the doctor walks up, the insistent, and goes, so tell me about what's happening this week. And maybe the person goes, oh, you know, I got more constipation this week, and maybe I got a little bit more diarrhea, and I'm not sleeping as well. Okay, so then the practitioner goes, let's handle that. Let's do that. Except functional medicine is systems, okay? And each one of these areas represents a system. And what will happen is sometimes you might look at somebody's case and say, you know what, after doing all that history and after doing all that exam, which we're going to talk about more briefly about the exam next week, but we're going to talk about that and you'll see how it syncs together. You might look at this as a practitioner and say, you know what, this person's had emotional trauma since they were a kid. Their blood sugar is way low. We talked about obstacles to cure last week and we talked about blood sugar there and we're going to talk about it again. And their gut's bad. And then they have a ton of other things going on. Like the whole sheet is marked up, but we're going to go with those three. And we might go with those three, and after 2 or 3 weeks, this entire page might disappear. All of these systems may synchronize because you're treating a couple of systems. You're not treating a symptom. And this is where the history becomes radically important, and nobody's going to sit there for an hour and ask you these questions every week. So they ask a couple questions and then they morph back into kind of like the medical approach. And I'm not anti-medicine, I'm just saying the medical model of today it's 8 minutes, 10 minutes, sit there, you know, get your symptom, give you a drug, see you in 6 months or whatever, or we'll send you for this. That's not functional medicine. This is functional medicine. Okay, no matter how the person's doing it, if they're not completely screening all of your systems and working one or two major systems at a time, and then allowing the other systems to synchronize and maybe regulate so that you don't need to address those symptoms, that is functional medicine. And you can do it without these tools, I would contend. I don't know how you would do it without these tools. That was our functional medicine questionnaire. This is our initial functional brain questionnaire, okay? So this is all about brain function, and this is all about brain chemistry. So you can tell from looking at this if the person's got you can take a good strong impression as to whether they got good circulation in there, do they have inflammation, do they eat something and have inflammation. There is zero chance that you can know a person's entire physiology, which I will argue you have to know, if you are treating chronic pain, unless you are utilizing tools that allow you to be able to do that. We also, I think that kind of like gives the overview of why a history is important, the facts that that chronic pain can basically not be dealt with in the model of the 8 minutes going on out there today, the 10 minutes, the 15 minutes, come in, give you a supplement, give you the paleo diet. Okay, here's your paleo diet over online. Here, you know, and here's your blood test, and let's throw all that out there. You can see how this is just a fraction of the data that you can pull out of a history. Before I see a patient to go in for an exam, I want, you can get this, I want to see their history. This is the history. This is half of the history. This is half. I got a bad look from behind the camera there. This is half of the history, because it's got the name on top, that I was just talking about for the lady that we think we may have to refer for co-managing a very serious problem. And I will look at all that, and there will be answers in there. Some people will come to me and go, well, I went to the Mayo Clinic and they couldn't find anything. And I'll go, so do you have the records? And they'll say, yeah, I want to see them. And you cannot imagine how many times the answer to that problem is in their records before we even walk into the room to examine them. Because the medical profession looks at things differently than the alternative profession. But this is gathering the type of data that you need to gather to be able to assess a functional medicine case properly. And the last thing I do on these is I actually have people fill out some other forms. Now, this is me personally. Okay, this is maybe not something that a lot of doctors would do. But I do have people fill out a little bit of a questionnaire to find out, you know, what their expectations are. Because if a person comes in here and they have an awful lot of things that we can help, but by helping that, we're not going to be able to meet their expectations because they want to go from being bedridden and having, you know, fibromyalgia and peripheral neuropathy and chronic fatigue, and I didn't even mention the cerebellar problem. And you want to go from that to, you know, being an Olympic athlete and climbing Mount Everest and stuff like that. That's probably not a realistic expectation. And so you need to know that about your patient before you start treating them. And you need to know that about yourself, that if you're going online, somehow, you know, you need to somehow learn how to evaluate what these doctors are telling you online, because a lot will make it sound like you can be cured. And most of our patients cannot be cured, even though last week we talked about obstacles to cure. It's obstacles to you stopping your downward progress, reverting it, and getting as well as you can and learning how to manage it. And then learning what your true metabolic capacity is so that you know what you need to do to stay better. And so you can tell all that. You won't ultimately know all of that until you treat the person and you see how they respond. But you can go an awful long way by gathering all of the data, by gathering all of the past data, actually going through. And it takes some time. And it takes some time to do that. And you can learn so much from that. And I will argue that you can probably diagnose the person 97% of the time properly, particularly functionally, if you go through this whole procedure. If I go into a doctor's office and I'm sitting there and it's a 10 or 15 minute interview and they're taking all my history down, and then I don't care what's a medical doctor or I don't care what's an alternative practitioner, and the next thing I do is I get a list of, like, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 worth of tests that I gotta do, and then we're gonna treat from that, I'm looking for another doctor, okay? Because this big piece here is missing. There's just an enormous amount of data that you can gather from a history to start a case right there, but truly to probably figure out what's going on. And then you synchronize that data with the exam that we're going to talk about next week. And that's really should tell you exactly what testing you need to do. And that's how diagnosis has historically been done. Humanity's bodies haven't changed, except for this autoimmune issue. And frankly, I would argue that the way to do a proper diagnosis hasn't changed. It's just that there's just models that have changed for purposes other than doing the best thing that's for the patient. And I say this as someone who's gone through this myself as a patient. So maybe that's why I have a little bit more of an interest in helping people to understand this. So next week we're going to talk about the exam. Now, I haven't decided whether we're going to go through one or not. I don't know, that might be kind of boring, but there are elements to a functional medicine exam that are critical, that in my opinion and my mentors' opinions and the people who develop functional medicine's opinions are that should be done for every functional medicine case that there is. And so we're going to talk about those, and we're going to walk through some of those exams that should be done. We'll separate out functional neurology from functional medicine. Most of the people who watch this are much more interested in the functional medicine aspects of it. And I think you'll be surprised. I think this will be interesting because I'm going to share with you some clinical pearls, if you will, as to how to tell whether a person's in fight flight, as to how to tell certain things about their intestines. A lot of things that you might already look at, see online, like those of you who have thyroid and have already looked online and know that if the outer third of your eyebrows are disappearing, that there's a good chance that you have a thyroid problem. But there's a lot of things like that, in an exam that can really go a long way towards telling you, again, what's actually wrong with that person. And when you take all that data and sync it with this, it's amazing. I mean, you could almost just go there a vast majority of the time without doing a lot of testing. We do testing, but it's directed by this. So next week, it's going to be the examination, and I think it'll be very interesting. Most of the patients, by the time we're done with their exam, they're pretty like, whoa, that's really cool. That really makes sense. I understand. Now I know kind of what's wrong with me. So until next week, I don't know I guess it may not be the same time, but it will be the same morning. Until next week, I will, I'll be working on what to tell you about examinations, and I'm always looking for feedback. If you have any feedback on any of these, if you have questions, if you have suggestions, I'm sure you can tell I've been doing this a long time, but I basically just sit down here and do this, okay? This is not scripted or anything, but this is the way I talk to my patients, and it seems to get good feedback as far as understandability, but we're always open. Till next week, take care and have a good week.
If you're enjoying this, then you know, please don't miss next week. Next week is kind of a big, big deal in most people's journey to wellness. So, okay, that's it for this week. Thank you for watching again, and take care.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.